here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Think blonde mallards are dumber than normal mallards?
I don't know.
I thought I'd start with a sexist joke there.
There's got to be a study, right?
Probably not enough sample. It's probably not a big enough sample size.
No, but here's a fucking crazy thing. My buddy Blake Donahue just sent me a snap today of a blonde mallard he's seen. And I just messaged him, and I was like, I sent him a picture of it, and I said, where did you see that blonde? He said, Forest Lake, which is, as the crow flies, like 20 miles away, maybe 15.
He saw it in Forest Lake. Where would it?
Like just a couple hours.
Forest Lake?
Just a couple hours ago. And he said there was a couple black ducks with it, a couple bands, and a pintail, which the pintail is the craziest one out of all of those.
Wait a minute. Where is he seeing these birds?
He said Forest Lake. Well, and I've never seen another species besides a mallard or a black in the Minneapolis area in winter, ever.
Well, that's like my general area, and I don't know where there's any open water near Forest Lake.
Oh, there's open water. I mean, there's a residential aerated pond, or there's a retention pond next to a freeway somewhere, I'm sure, right?
Not that I know of, but there must be something holding them.
There must be.
Huh. Crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. And I was just talking to my dad, too, and I said, you know, as long as I can ever remember, we've had mallards that winter here in the Fridley, New Brighton area. So that goes back to when I was like 12 or 13. Well, my dad moved to the area in like 1980. And I said, was there ever a time where that was a new thing to you? And he's like, no, as far as I can remember back, we've always had mallards in this area in the winter.
Weird, right? It's like what they're acclimated to, because that big cold snap down in Texas, they had a bunch of birds die, ducks die because of the cold.
Really?
Yeah. Like, on Instagram, I think it was either Plink the Bander or Birdiologist, one of those two, but they both do banding, obviously.
Right.
And they had just attached some tracking, you know, backpacks or whatever. And then right before that winter storm hit, and they had a bunch die off already.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, they're acclimated to that warmer temperature down there. They get hit with what our local mallards deal with on the daily, and they can't hack it. But somebody else brought up a good point I was talking to that might not be the cold so much as food availability down there.
Maybe it's a combination of both.
Because once all the water froze, because all their ponds, people were ice fishing in Texas. So once everything locked up and they got snow, they couldn't get to any fields, they couldn't get to water to eat, like they're kind of screwed.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I was just having this conversation with somebody else the other day that our wintering waterfowl, they don't seem like they're struggling. Like they aren't like on death's doorstep, super skinny, just barely scraping by. They are fat. They are happy. They are healthy.
People
like,
keep
they are doing
50-pound
great
bags of corn in their yard. That's why.
But no, I even on that last day of the goose season when I shot three birds and I had watched them in the spread for like a half hour, these things were nasty fighting. They were vocal. They were scraping. They were picking. They were brawling, and like two geese teaming up on another goose and kicking its ass. I'm like, geez, these things must be starving. Huh. And then the three I shot and cleaned, they were fatter than shit. Like, these things could have not ate for a month and been fine. And I think it's the same with the mallards that are in my yard and that I see around town. They don't look like they're emaciated and unhealthy. They look like beautiful, adult, healthy animals.
Yeah, I don't know if starving or hunger drives them to be assholes towards each other. That hunt that we had a couple years back up in Pine City area, that that great day of combination of like locals and Migs, and for sure Migs, because that last flock that hit the ground, like they would not leave. They hit the ground, they immediately started eating. Like immediately. No fucks given. Feet hit the ground, they immediately started to graze. We chased them out. They flew. They kept trying to fly back. They were like in the field the whole time we're picking up decoys. It was crazy.
But they weren't aggressive towards one another.
Not one another. And they're just like, whatever, I ain't got time for this. I'm hangry and I need to eat.
And I'm quick to dismiss people who say that aggression is a common characteristic of geese, because it's not. You don't see geese fighting often. Like, you'll see them fight you if it's springtime and they got a brood, or occasionally you see that one asshole goose at the park that keeps chasing around the other one's tail feathers.
Yeah, like, I think
goose is an asshole.
I think they're pretty territorial, but if you think about it, it's like they're more territorial when they have downtime. Like, when they have nothing better to worry about, then they're like, hey, asshole, you're in my bubble.
And like, I was even talking to Raquel, who doesn't have a whole huge background on Canada goose biology, coming from Panama. And I was like, it's so weird how these fat bastards were like fighting each other over food. And she said one of the most insightful things. She was like, well, maybe they want it that bad. I was like, they are. They're like the fat kids. It's like all the fat kids. It's all the fat kids that are fighting over birthday cake. Like, there's a DQ treats a pizza, and they want every skittle morsel they can get.
Yeah, well, they didn't get fat from turning down morsels, so maybe that's what it is. You know, they're like, hey, I got this far.
Right. But man, like, I was literally thinking, like, and that it got so cold, and the roost had emptied out. There was only about 75 birds in the whole area. And these things were just brawling, fighting, hissing, running, scraping. I'm like, these things are about to die. They're from starvation. And I couldn't have been more wrong. Like, well, what the fuck are they fighting and being so nasty for? They're the fat kids, man. They just
food source is just that good, I guess.
It didn't seem like they needed it for all three. And there was at least two subspecies that I killed out of those three birds.
Sweet.
Yeah, there's like a Churchill bird, and then one was a local temperate nester. But I don't know, just thoughts. Also, I just looked up a straight line downtown Forest Lake to my house is 17 miles. I wonder if it's 17.8. I mean, that's nothing for a mallard to fly in 20 minutes.
There ain't nothing for a mallard to fly that for show.
You would think, though, that mallard in Forest Lake wouldn't have to fly 18 miles to a food source in my front yard, though.
That's true. There's got to be somebody that's got a bird feeder that they can knock over.
Yeah.
If there's that many birds that your buddy saw him in Forest Lake, somebody's got to be feeding them, too. I mean, they would have
You know what, though? Actually, I talked to my dad earlier today, and he was saying that a bunch of Tweety birds showed up between yesterday and today. And there was literally just like 200 mallards in my front yard. Like, I think a bunch of birds might just be new in the area.
That could be.
There must have been a migration overnight or between yesterday and today. We've got a lot of new birds around.
Definitely warmed up. We're going to be seeing more and more of that. Those snow geese have got to be on the move.
You would think.
They have been smashing them down there in Arkansas in that snow. That snow had them fucked up, dude. They were just like, they didn't know what to do. They couldn't go further south. I mean, there was nothing they could have done.
I know they were just smashing, like, even, like, darks in Kansas all the way to the end on February 14th. And I honestly wouldn't have predicted it have gone that well as it did for those guys down there. I think I was talking to Graham Gresseth with Maxed Out, and he said some of the guides were saying, let's cancel our hunts, you know, when they saw the forecast. Like, what are we going to do? And what they did was fucking crush for like a week straight and shiver. So
yeah,
I don't think they were expecting it either.
It did look awful cold.
Yeah, it did.
But you can be cold when you're putting, you know, you're having 100 plus bird days. So they're
probably
ain't too mad at it.
There is no snow in the Dakotas.
Yeah, I mean, though, I just got off the phone with Dean today from Premier Flight. kind of coming up with a game plan, and looks like I'll be headed down there to start setting spreads like the 8th.
So, the 8th of March?
March.
But doesn't Dean run Arkansas hunts?
Yeah, he's actually driving back from Arkansas when I talked to him.
All right, you didn't have any interest in going down there, huh?
Not this year, because my last ice fishing tournament was February 28th. So kind of couldn't. So
yeah, I'm looking at today's snow map right now, and there's a little chunk on the east side of Nebraska, pretty much from the north border to the south border. All of Iowa's covered up. And then that's about it. A little bit in the northeast corner of South Dakota and Sioux Falls. Yeah, a little bit up in central North Dakota, but damn.
Yeah, I heard, not heard, I guess I would say I read on the old Book of Face, someone said they're seeing them in southern Indiana, I think. Pushing north, so... They'll for sure be in Mound City by this weekend.
I heard you give a little advertisement for Charleston today.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool, dude. It actually made me Google South Carolina waterfowl regulations. Have you ever looked it up?
A little bit, not a lot, because my nephew's there, and he's always looking for places to hunt out there. A lot of it is like... I don't know how much they have for public stuff. A lot of it is rice paddies and stuff like that. So private, either people that have like planted it, like private, you know, flooded fields or actual rice farms. From what I understand, that's where most of the ducks hang out. However, if you had any interest, you could get on a late season Buffy smash down there pretty good.
Really?
I've been out there fishing for reds before, and the sound would just be shit stacked with Buffies everywhere. In fact, they were there when I was there this last time. Of course, nothing was open, but season wise, actually, I saw a bunch of mergansers, saw a bunch of Buffies. There was a handful of bluebills. Looked like a bunch of ruddy ducks. Kind of a little mix of everything. Didn't see any puddlers though. It was all diver ducks.
Huh. Well, see, here's the thing about when somebody says, there's not a lot of places to hunt and blah, blah, blah. It's a lie. And
well, I personally haven't looked into it. Like, this is coming from my nephew who, you know, I don't know how dutiful he is about researching places.
Well, so. You know what? Somebody said that to him. Somebody smart told him that. And that's what I say to everybody who's ever like, how is the hunting there? I'm like, you know, it's tough. There's really not any public spots to go. Permission is tough. A lot of leases, especially around the water, you know, where the waterfowl are, you know, it's hard.
It's not, I will say this from the people that I've met and the good old boys and the rednecks down there, duck hunting isn't real big in South Carolina.
That could be just the thing you need.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a sleeper state. Who knows? I've heard that a lot of birds don't make it that far. Like that's like the mallards and that don't ever make it that far. Like North Carolina seems to be like Outer Banks, the big giant salt marshes. I think that's where a bunch of the eastern flyway snow geese spend their winters. So they don't even make it down into South Carolina.
Oh yeah. I can't remember if it was South Carolina or North Carolina, but did you ever catch on my Snapchat where I was posting the satellite transmitter studies from there?
That might have been North Carolina.
I think it might have been North Carolina, but it's really interesting how the widgeons all like cut across Minnesota in like a
southeast
to northwest.
Pretty sure that was North Carolina, I mean, it could be wrong, but I think I remember that being the case. And that's probably why there isn't that many duck hunters in South Carolina. It's like ducks either stop before they get there. Obviously, not all of them. I mean, I've seen diver ducks at least, and then the rest probably go to Florida, you know?
Oh, shit. Dude, here, I've just found some data from what is this from? South Carolina DNR Waterfowl Management Areas Weekly Waterfowl Harvest Report, November 21, 2020. I guess it's just for 1 week. So they've got 1, 2, 3, 4 wildlife management areas on here. And it has total harvest and number of hunters, ducks per hunter, 4.8.
That's pretty good.
That's fucking crazy good. That's some good. That is good public hunting. 4.8 for just, I mean, you got to assume the people going out there are just average everyday duck hunters. You're going to get a mix of good hunters and a mix of bad hunters.
Right.
I've seen some California ones that were up around 5 or 5.5, but 4.8 has got to be some of the highest bird per person averages in the country.
That's pretty good. It's probably, I bet they don't get a bunch of pressure, would be my guess from what I've heard.
They've got shots fired.
Shots fired.
528.
That's nothing.
For 134 birds. That ain't bad.
That's nothing.
Motherfuckers are shooting skeet down there.
Yeah, this is some high percentage duck hunts down there.
Let's see what species they got.
Woodies.
A lot of blue wingers.
Okay.
A lot of blue wingers. A lot of ringnecks.
Okay, those are headed to Florida, more than likely. Ultimately, their final destination.
Green wings. Couple green wings. One mallard.
Wow.
No wood ducks, by the way.
Really?
Mm-hmm. This is just for 1 week.
Right.
I guess. I don't know. That's cool, though. I love it when states publish this shit.
Huh. That's interesting. And that was in November, you said?
Yeah, it was.
Hmm. Well, the wood ducks be gone by then.
I suppose you're right.
But wouldn't the blue wingers be gone by then?
Oh, shit. That's the earliest one they have. Let's see. The season summary. Boom. All right. For the entire season, 3 ducks per hunter. That's good.
Yeah, not bad.
2,000 total ducks, 10,000 total shots.
That's cool stuff. How do they know that?
They must have check stations.
God, they must.
Some places do. I mean, there's only this for the total season. They've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like shots, 10 locations.
The shots is an interesting metric. Like, why did they? I think I gotta put their hunters on blast like that.
No shit, but let's see the species breakdown here. We got 65 mallards out of all of them. A lot of blue wing, a lot of shovelers, a lot of green wing, a lot of gadwall. 126 model ducks.
Really? I thought those were just Florida deal.
66 wood ducks, which is, you're shooting double the amount of model ducks that you thought, you know, compared to the species you thought was more
prevalent.
Yeah. 2 tree ducks.
Sweet.
Yeah, that is fucking cool. So, and also, since this is broke down week by week by week, you can look at those weeks and be like, "Well, that definitely seems to be the peak."
And well, if you want to make a trip next year, we have a place to stay.
Well, did this inadvertently turn into a South Carolina website?
another South Carolina commercial.
A South Carolina commercial, yes, but also another in our long-running series of state opportunities.
Oh, sure, why not? Might as well get into it. We already went down that route.
Shit, we're already like 20 minutes into this podcast, I think. It's a little late to start now. Dude, no Canada geese. That's a fucking bummer.
Honestly, in my travels there, I can't tell you that I've ever seen one anywhere. On a lawn, golf course, anything.
In South Carolina, huh?
Oh, I did see some, though, in North Carolina. Because we took this very last trip, we took a day trip up to, well, an overnight trip, I guess. We went up into the mountains in Asheville. And on the way there, we stopped at a lake to have lunch. And there was some geese out there. Not a lot, but there was a handful of them.
I went down just to take a little weekend getaway trip with the wife. I went about 45 minutes south of La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the Mississippi River, up in like the crazy hills.
Mm-hmm.
And we just spent a few hours driving around on Saturday, and I was positive I was going to find some honkers. I did not.
Huh.
And I found swans, and I found some mallards, some black ducks.
That's kind of weird that you saw ducks but no geese.
That's what I thought.
Hmm.
Where did you say you went to? What was that amazing town?
Asheville, North Carolina. But South Carolina is, or Charleston, South Carolina is the great
Charleston
town.
Yeah, that's the amazing town. Honestly, all I'm right. literally thinking about like,
Raquel
taking a trip
would
there.
Love it.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Just the kind of the way you were describing it, I was like, yeah, it does sound like a good couples type of.
It's, yeah, you get a place right downtown. You can walk anywhere you want, or obviously Uber or Lyft or whatever. But it's super, like, downtown's on an island. It's super cool. It's just a cool place.
Downtown's on an island?
Mm-hmm. It's technically an island if you look at it on the map. It's basically to the two rivers that kind of cut it off from the mainland.
I'm looking at birdings reports from South Carolina, too. Here's a 406 Canada geese. That was 3 days ago.
For South Carolina?
Yeah, down by Norfolk.
Norfolk.
In Hampton. I'm totally
Norfolk,
unfamiliar.
Virginia. No, there was a Norfolk,
Virginia?
South Carolina.
Am I in Virginia? Maybe I crossed the borders. I totally am looking at North Carolina-Virginia border. I'm an idiot. Here's some Charleston. I guess I start scrolling on that map, man. I get lost quick.
Yeah, it's easy to do. And it's a little different here in the Midwest. You know, we think so, like, linear up, down, east, west, as far as like state borders, but down there, because the east coast runs northeast, it screws with my brain all the time. Like, there, you can drive straight west to get to Georgia, which doesn't, in my mind, you know, Georgia's south of South Carolina, which technically it is, but the way the land runs, it's like if you drive west, you'll run into Georgia. So it's kind of weird. Same thing if you with North Carolina, if you drive northwest, you end up in North Carolina too.
Kind that is weird. Does that have something to do with the map being two-dimensional?
Could be. I think it's just the way the rivers are, or the way their borders are made. They're just kind of weird.
Yeah. Raquel said something else that blew my fucking mind, and I don't know why. It just shows you how unworldly I am. Like, I was saying, like, oh, it's nice that we're getting some late sunsets now. Like, it's bright till 6:30 at night now instead of 4:30. And she's like, yeah, it's kind of crazy how that goes, because then back at home, it's the sunset and sunrise is the same time every day. I'm like, no, it's not. You're just stupid.
No, if she's close to the equator, it's the same.
I know, and I looked it up to prove her wrong, and I was like, holy shit, it really doesn't change all year
all right,
round. She's like, yeah, it's like,
if you go to Charleston or anywhere there is tidal waters along the coast, now I got something. Here's a little tidbit you can blow people's minds with. Technically, the waters don't rise and fall. The earth moves into the water.
Okay, hold up. Yep, it's hurting. It hurts that front left part of my brain a lot.
I just learned this year myself. Thanks, Neil
deGrasse
Tyson.
So the waters, because the waters are staying the same.
So
and
the,
it's
yeah,
actually
the magnetic
the,
pole from the
it's
moon.
It's the Earth's crust that's shifting
well,
on the water.
The Earth itself. So as the Earth is spinning, right? So the Earth
yeah.
is spinning. And the tides are, you know, in my mind, it was always taught like the Earth causes the tide. So as the moon comes around, you know, it's like, oh, what pulls the water. But it's always pulling the water. So as the Earth turns into the water that's already pulled. And so as it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and it's kind of like almost like a cup of water. You twist the cup, the water doesn't twist.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Maybe that's stupid too.
But when you're on the water, it's so hard to visualize that, because you're like, no, dude, it's dropping. I can watch it. I can watch the water drop. I watch the water come up. But it's the whole entire Earth moving into the stretched out, elongated
yeah, that,
water bubble.
I think we got to end the podcast there, because that's, that's all the IQ stretching and flexing I got for the day right there. I mean,
so
we talked about like migrating waterfall, and now this. It's too much.
Like
time
I think,
doesn't change on sunset in Panama.
You know what also be weird though with the tides is hunting. Like, if you were to go after those buffies, like literally, I just don't know how you do it unless you can hunt out of layout boats. Like if you're hunting on shore changes by like a lot.
But it changes slowly, right? It's enough to have a couple hours in the morning.
Yeah, but even in that couple hours, you're going to see a marked difference depending on which, you know, if you have a steep bank, yeah, not so much. But here's the other thing. If you have a steep bank, chances are you're in a channel, and that current is going to be ripping. So you better have some serious decoy weights.
And I think I've seen a bunch of people make posts about how they got caught when the tide left and like, oh great, let's call the wife, I'm gonna be home in 12 hours when my boat floats again.
Yeah, that's happened to us. We try to get into too skinny water to chase some fish, and next thing you know, we're like, and we're stuck.
No kidding.
And so we're gonna have to wait a good 3-4 hours, because I mean generally you only get stuck, unless you're being a complete moron, at dead low tide. So
okay,
once you're at dead, it's gonna start, you know, you got about an hour, it's gonna start coming in again.
Okay, yeah, it starts creeping up before it gets back to high. Mm-hmm. There's a little transitional period. It's not instantaneous.
Yep. And generally, you know, depending on the boat you're in and you know how buggered you got, you only need 3-4 inches more water for you to start floating and you can get yourself out. But
I was talking to a guy who guides duck hunts out in the ocean, and I think it was either New Jersey or New York, and he's like, yep, I grew up in that area. I know the tides. I know where to hunt. He's like, pretty much we shoot the guns every day, kill about a band a week. I don't have to lease land from anybody to hunt. And I just got to make sure the clients don't die, and that's it. Like, so that's what they're paying you for, is to take them on a boat and make sure they come back alive. And he's like, that's right. So you have to have a captain's license to do that.
Yes, you do.
And he's like, well, that's what I got my captain's license for. I'm like, son of a bitch, isn't that the best guide job that I've ever heard of in my life?
That's pretty sweet.
Where are we gonna hunt tomorrow? Somewhere free. Where are we gonna do scout? Not really.
Nope.
No, hunts that'll end at 11 a.m bitch.
Yeah, I gotta say, like the birds that I've seen on the water, like they don't really move much. I mean like the days I was out, they're the big rafts are in the same spot every time I see them.
But divers do have natural like resting and feeding areas similar to like a Canada goose or a mallard, right?
Sure. I don't know that for a fact, but sure, it makes sense. I mean, I do know I got screwed one year here in Minnesota. Not really screwed, but I would just say the hunt didn't work out. So I was scouting the day before, found this lake. It was absolutely shit stacked with divers of all makes, colors, models. And it was a bunch of wild rice. You know, it was a shallow like wild rice thing. Had access to it. I was like, this is sweet. I'm going to smash tomorrow. I set up. All the birds got up and left.
Okay. They probably went out to go feed.
But what's wrong with that lake? There's like wild rice everywhere. It's nice and shallow. There's weeds everywhere. Like,
you never know, dude.
No reason for them to leave, but apparently there was because they did. And yeah, I could hear nobody on the lake was shooting shit. A couple random shots here and there. But you could hear shots not far away. So apparently other people were on the feed.
Did you wait it out till they returned?
No, I did not.
Ooh, I wonder how good it got.
Yeah, it could have got juicy. It would have been like an afternoon hunt or a midday hunt probably would have made, you know.
And
sense.
I have a buddy who used to get after the divers hard on Lake Osakis. And he said that's what they do is they'd go scout. And what that meant was just, you know, find out where they're rafting, follow them out to go feed. And then there's a law that you have to be concealed by natural
vegetation,
vegetation in Minnesota. And so he said there was normally always like one cattail they could find, you know, a little scruff of cattails, like in the feeding area. And that's where they'd set up. They just set up an open boat with like one or two cattails over the bow and they would crush them.
Yeah. Well, it looks like they might get rid of that law. So we'll have to worry about it.
I know. That would be awesome.
Would be
I would
sweet.
Love to be doing some body booting. Have you heard what's going on in Maryland about that?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't have the information, but there's a regulation going through their Congress right now or something that's going to either make everything but body booting illegal or make body booting illegal or make open water hunting illegal on the Chesapeake Bay or something.
So... What the hell? You explained this to me before, but I already forgot. What is body booting?
Body booting is where you wear a dry suit and you would be in a spread of I guess anything, but a lot of people are using V boards, especially on the East Coast.
Okay, so you're just
and
like chest deep in water, standing in the decoys, pretty much?
I would say probably like dick deep at the most.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like, and then you have one of your, so you're in a bunch of silhouettes, and you've got one silhouette that's on a, it pivots around a center post, and you have like a shell box and a gun holder on it. So you can like, you can move that 360.
You're just
and
hiding
kind of
behind that silhouette.
Hide behind the silhouette, exactly.
Nice.
And sounds fun.
It's like the aquatic version of the cow decoy.
Kind of, yeah.
Snows.
Oh, it sounds like so much fun. Except for, like, cold, I hate cold water.
Well, that's what the dry suit's for. You wouldn't be
How
cold.
Well do those work? I've
Probably
never
pretty good one. Because all your scuba divers use it for under ice diving. So I would think pretty good.
How much do they cost? It's probably more than a $1,000 pair of Sitka waders.
A lot. I'm guessing it's a lot.
An uninsulated pair of Sitka waders.
Yeah.
Probably $5,000 for one of those suits. You're buying it used on for like $2,000. It's filled with somebody else's dick sweat.
We'll buy it from a chick then. I mean, there's chick scuba divers. I mean, if the dick sweats, if that's the thing that's
Windex.
Creeping you out, a little V sweat then instead.
A little D sweat doesn't faze you one bit.
Whatever. Not if I'm smashing ducks.
But how cool would it be to kind of be in your spread?
That would be
open
pretty.
Water?
That would be a different experience for sure. You'd feel naked.
Yeah, in your spread of open water, Canada goose silhouettes, and they're just decoying right, like trying to land amongst you. That would be so cool.
That would be pretty wicked. I wonder what they're using for camel. You think you'd have some sort of like water camel, like more for fishing than you would, you know? You know what I mean?
Like a gray.
Like a gray and blue or, you know, wavy lines kind of a thing.
I would think so, yeah.
I mean that.
Or what about a goose suit?
That would make more sense. Yeah, or that. Or just black and white suit. Random black and white suit, I bet would work just fine.
Or that hoodie with that actual print of a
goose
on it.
There you go.
And
then your buddy shoots you in the face because he's an idiot.
Who was that? There actually was a goose suit somebody made. For like doing layout hunts, and
yeah.
Sean Hammock used to have one. I think Randy Bartz might have made it, the flag man.
And wasn't there an actual like goose on like the head of it, like a hat you would wear, like your
there
head
was
would
that
stick
hat.
Up?
There was that hat, and that was sold in the back of Wildfowl magazine forever. It had that silly ass picture of a dude, and every like year I'll see somebody post or send me a snap where them and all their buddies bought them. It's like, guys probably selling the fuck out of them to this day.
They probably smashed with them. It's like the best kept secret in Waterfall.
Probably
like, let everybody laugh at you. Who cares? Do we wear these things? And they literally land on our boot bags.
You know what? I'm finding out there's a lot of things people laugh at you at that really do work good.
I'm sure.
And also, I always thought Randy Bartz was the craziest motherfucker in Waterfowl, but that's probably me now.
You might be right.
And the funniest thing about it is I hate flags. Randy used to have a flag that would attach to his gun barrel so he could flag all the way down.
Jesus.
He used to sell stakes for Bigfoots that would elevate them above prairie grass, which... I'm not thinking that's so dumb anymore.
Yeah, how do they know how deep the grass is?
I've heard of dudes going out and setting up a spread on like 3-foot stakes above standing soybeans.
Oh my god. Think of the hide. It would be so good.
The hide would be so perfect. You would for sure need a dog.
Oh yeah, you're not finding those.
No, definitely not. But I've heard of guys that fucking shot limits doing that, man.
Sure, I believe it. But here's the thing. I don't know. You'd have to do one of these experiments because who knows what the actual efficacy of that is. Or it's like, did they just get that day where...
I know they were in a good area.
Birds commit suicide. You know, like there's been those days. We've talked about it numerous times on this podcast. We're like, you're at the truck.
Yeah,
everybody's
yeah.
standing around. There's 3 trucks in the field and geese are just finishing. You're like, what?
But one thing I can say for sure is they were running traffic.
All right. Well,
you know, well, they're not. There's no geese going to the
standing
bean field
well,
in September.
That's not true. I remember scouting, and there's a field right in town here, standing beans, and geese were dumping into it, and you could just see their heads sticking out above the stalks. You're like, what the hell?
I've seen that too, but not in September. When was yours?
It might have been late September. It wasn't late. It was early.
Green, all green beans?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. I've seen them do it, but it's not super late, but kind of transitioning, like maybe not when all the beans need to get cut, but they're thinning out a little bit.
I wouldn't
I've
say
seen
it
them. I'm for sure seeing them standing in green beans though, for sure.
Yeah.
It's not,
it's weird.
It's a little weird. Do you think they're in there eating beans or do you think they're in there eating insects?
Probably bugs.
Probably.
I would
or
say
whatever else
bugs.
We can't think of.
Or they're grasses.
Or
if
they're
there's
eating
any
beans.
Weeds in there. Or they're just like they're doing the. They're just loafing in there. Maybe they're just chilling.
Maybe they're just chilling, man. Like just standing around.
Yeah.
Actually, the ones that I seen kind of actually did look like they're foraging for sure.
I guess I didn't watch these that long, but it didn't. They all I saw was a bunch of heads sticking up, so they weren't actively feeding. They were, I don't know if their heads were up because there was incoming geese and they were all yelling at each other and jockeying for position or what they're doing, but they weren't feeding. At least, well, I guess I don't know. There could have been some feeding head down. I wouldn't have been able to see them because the only ones that were standing up like sentries could I see their heads poking out. So.
Well, it's getting pretty rambling. Should we end it?
Pretty rambling. We've covered a lot of subjects in this one. This one's been pretty good.
But, and we've done like 40 episodes of rambling.
That's what we do, dude. Perfect.
Yep.
I love it.